the reason these disturbances, they followed you to a new home, is because it's not the house that's haunted. It's your son.
So 1,100 men went in the war. 316 men come out. The Sharks took the rest June the 29th, 1945. Anyway, we delivered the bomb.
Never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, say, I'll be right back. Because you won't be back.
You get another beer, you want one?
Yeah, sure.
I'll be right back!
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Oh, shit. Oh.
My name is Robert Hawkins. Approximately 7 hours ago, something attacked the city. You found this. If you're watching this, then you know more about it than I do.
California, stay away from it. Stay away from it. I'll come with you. John Doe has the upper hand.
And on that day, Ahab will go to his grave, but he'll rise again within the hour. He will rise and beckon. Then all save one shall follow.
They're all gonna laugh at you! They're all gonna laugh at you! They're all gonna laugh at you!
Hello, welcome once again to Dark Discussions, your place for the discussion of horror, film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. I am one of your co-hosts, Philip, from the state of New Hampshire in the US of A, and with me in the state of Michigan.
This is Eric.
Eric, how's it going, sir?
I am well.
Excellent. And in the state of New York? In the state of New York?
I'm not talking to you.
Very well, very well. Hey, that's Mike from New York. And in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts?
Hello, this is Abe.
Abe, how's it going?
I am hurting.
I understand. All right, so for folks who are curious or are new to the podcast, don't be frightened away from those that strange intro. But we are darkdiscussions.com, which is, we're Dark Discussions Podcast, which is part of the Dark Discussions Network, which is www.darkdiscussions.com. We are the original podcast of the network, and that's why the network was named after this podcast, so the Dark Discussions Network of podcasts. But Dark Discussions Network is more than just podcasts. It is also news, daily news articles, columns, all about film releases, Blu-ray releases, reviews on films, all sorts of good stuff. So definitely go to darkdiscussions.com and make it one of your daily websites to check out horror and genre news. Also, participate and listen to some of the side podcasts because there's at least 30 or so podcasts on the network besides all the articles.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, how'd that happen?
I know. How about that?
Wait, crazy. Eric, how many did he say?
30.
Oof.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it sure is. Some are more active than others, but there are always multiple podcasts released every week. So check out all those. For this podcast here, for new listeners, this one comes out weekly. We discuss horror, sci-fi, fantasy, thrillers, techno thrillers, mystery, grindhouse, art house, foreign films, midnight movies, occult films, and the like. Basically, we try to talk intelligently about a genre that deserves intelligence. Also, Eric, I mentioned the website. Do we have other stuff on that website of note?
Yeah. You mentioned the articles and stuff already, so you can check all that out. Also, on every page of the website, you'll find a link to our Patreon account. Patreon is a service that allows you to financially contribute and help your online artists like podcasters. You can also find it at patreon.com/darkdiscussions. For every $5 a month that you care to donate, you'll have the opportunity to submit a topic for us to possibly do a show on. We take all the submissions from our patrons and draw one at random on a quarterly basis. So if you would like to contribute to the show, we'd greatly appreciate it. You can do it at patreon.com/darkdiscussions or follow the link on darkdiscussions.com.
Yep, excellent, excellent. And for folks who are curious, today is December 3rd, 2020. We basically give out that date for some of our listeners, including Pam, who are curious when we record the episodes, because sometimes they come out maybe 3 to 10 weeks later. It depends.
Or,
for example,
2 or 3 years later.
That has happened at least once, and twice. Yeah, and it's going to happen a third time when Deathgasm comes out, because that one's still being edited.
It still hasn't been released?
Yeah. Wow. Well, you know what it's like. You know, you're cleaning the house, you lift up the couch cushions, and there's a podcast you completely forgot about.
Oh, no.
You're like, I thought we released that.
Oh, no, I remember that one. It's just that it's going to take a little extra editing, because there's a lot of gaps.
I remember talking about that movie with Joe Bob Briggs at Weekend of Fear 3 back, I think that was 2 years ago at Halloween. And I know we had already recorded that episode by that point, because that was kind of what got us into that discussion. So that it has been a while since we have done that one.
Yeah, that's a
long. 2018, the Halloween 2018, I think, is when that happened.
Right. Yeah. And so there was three others. It was Gungeum, Haunted Asylum was like a year and a half later. The Ruins was like a year and a half later, and then Ozark episode was a year later. So
a lot of time gaps.
Yeah, so there's been a couple that have been longer than usual. So that's why we give out the date. But we always have a new episode in the queue, whether it's one that we recorded 2 weeks ago or one we recorded 6 months ago. It will be released the following week. Also, we have an email, darkdiscussions@aol.com, or you can email us directly at the website, where you can go to contact us. And press that button, and it'll bring you right to the website email. And it is a little thing you fill out, and it's just like an email that comes right to us. Also, we have Twitter, which is Dark Discussion 1. The website has actually been updated again recently, where now the articles are in a separate section. There's a head, top articles of the week, things like that. And then there's also now both the Facebook Dark Discussions podcast Facebook group and the Twitter feed now appear on the right side of every page. For people who want to follow us on those items, you can actually see it right there on the website. We do have new email that we got from, it was a comment from a listener, Jim Morden, who actually writes a blog, Pop Void Blogs. spot.com. It's not very prolific, but it's a decent blog. I checked out his latest blog, which is actually somewhat old, like 6 months or so, and it was the Cats movie. I contacted him back to tell him that I was excited about that film because of Taylor Swift's participation in it. But this is what he has to write. There was a post on the website about Criterion Channel, the horror cinema's queer undercurrents. They had, LGBTQ undercurrents in horror films, and they have like 25 films on the Criterion Channel. Our friend Jim mentioned that he started watching it. This is what he says. He goes, I started watching these, but when I went back to the Criterion Channel on my Roku yesterday, I discovered that the panel for this collection is no longer there. The previous queer-sided collection, that was probably from their prior, like last year's version of the TV station's release. For example, Turn the Gaze Around is what it's called. It does show up, but not the Queer Fear collection, the new one. If you're using computer, you can go to the collection via the link that you provided on the Dark Discussions page. But if you are using a Roku box, you have to do search for Queer Sighted or really just Queer to see the collection. I wonder what the story is. And I don't know what's going on. I know I haven't checked. But because I don't actually subscribe to Criterion Channel, but I noticed that a lot of the links they bring you to their site, but they don't necessarily bring you directly to it if you use a Roku box for some reason. So that's why you should use an Apple TV, I say. Got to get the Apple TV in there. Anyway, so thanks for participating, Jim, and continue looking forward to your comments. All right, yeah, I know, Mike, you said there's a bunch of news. There's a couple of big ones, one related to the LGBTQ community, as well as some big news about movies, releases and stuff. But we'll get into all that stuff at the end of the episode in our news and what we've been watching section, assuming we have time. But with that stated, I guess we can get into our topic tonight. So, Eric, what are you going to discuss tonight?
Tonight, we're going to be talking about the current release movie available for digital rental called The Giant.
You remember last summer when we heard those booms in the middle of the night? Do you ever hear them anymore?
Where have you been, Joe?
There's something about the summer that brings the past back to life. And everything we felt, we'll feel again. All this heat, all this sweat, all this pain.
That's right. The Giant is written and directed by a guy named David Raboy, who is a first-time feature film, or at least, yeah, feature film anyway. Stars Odessa Young. Odessa Young has been tapped to be Franny in the new CBS show, The Stand, CBS All Access show, The Stand, which comes out December 17th. So it has some breakout stars in it. Also, Madeline Klein is in it, Ben Schertzer, and a couple of other folk. The film originally was released at the Toronto Film Festival, or TIFF, if you prefer, in 2019, but made its, I guess, North American wide release November 13th, 2020. So a new release, Vertical Entertainment released it. It's getting around 50%. Reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. Doesn't have too many reviews, but it does have
Phil, what's the audience score on Rotten Tomatoes?
Zero.
Okay.
Or it was the last time I checked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was zero when I checked today as well.
Yeah. Phil, didn't you bring up the Roger Ebert review for this?
Yes, you
did. Did you actually read that review?
Yes.
Did you read that review before you suggested the film?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think it did get like 2.5 stars or something. But either way, it was a blind choice by me. Basically, during a movie night, me and my wife choose a film to watch, and I usually try to get into thrillers or horror films because Apple now, for some reason, removed thrillers, and they just throw thrillers in with horror now for some reason. And we watched the trailer, and that's how I heard about the film, and it was on their top 42 films of the week that week when it came out. But we did not watch it. My wife didn't really get a keen view of what the trailer was about. But we'll talk about that all in a moment. So that's pretty much all I have. I guess we can get into our part of how we heard about this film and what we thought about it. So let's start with you, Mike.
Yeah, I heard about it 2 weeks ago when you were pushing us hard to do it. I didn't know why you were pushing us hard to do it, but you were pushing us hard to do it, and we had nothing else to do, so we said, fine. I immediately rented the movie on Vudu because I knew I was going to forget what movie we were covering, and sure enough, I did. I was going to watch it a couple nights ago, but I got stabbed in the eye with a needle for medical treatment, and I really, like, my eye was bothering me, so I did not watch it Tuesday night, and I really was just kind of bothering me yesterday as well, so I didn't really want to watch it last night, so I watched it this afternoon. And I kind of wished I was back at the doctor's getting my eye stabbed with a needle again. You know how, like, you watch a movie and you really want to know how it ends? Yeah, this is when I was watching. I just wanted to know when it ends. I try very hard to not just shit on the films that we cover. But, I mean, literally, there was nothing I liked about the film. I did not like the direction. I did not like the cinematography. I did not like the story. I really hated the dialogue. The only thing I didn't like, the editing, but the only thing I can't directly criticize is the music, because I don't really remember it.
Yeah, it was good music.
I don't know if I rewatch it, I mean, it's certainly, the fact that I don't hate it, it makes it the standout feature of the film. Now, I will always give somebody credit for having the ability to either put their money or somebody else's money up to pursue their dream and make a movie they really want to make. So there's that. Congratulations for making this. I still hate it.
All right. Very well. All right. Let's go with you, Abe.
I heard about this the same time as everyone else did. For some reason, we couldn't think of anything better. I actually forgot we were supposed to do it until recently to double check. And I really wish I had still forgotten. And I want my $7 back. So I watched to make sure it kind of refreshed my mind, because if I had watched any more way before during the break we took for Thanksgiving, I honestly don't think I would remember a goddamn thing. Because this movie hardly, because this movie was all over the fucking place. This was an absolute fucking waste of time. As much as I harped on the gallows, at least I knew what was going on. And this fucking thing, it was all over the goddamn fucking place. This movie was a mess. It was very cringy in terms of its dialogue. I definitely with Mike on that. It felt like some kind of preteen writing poetry and trying to sound really deep, and it's just like, oh god, shut the fuck up and sit down. The acting was okay. Actually, the acting was the only thing I really did like. I thought even though they were delivering crap material, they were still delivering well. I took a break for several times. I actually watched like maybe 40 minutes, and I was like, okay, I'm taking like a 2-hour sleep nap to recharge. And then I went back to it, and I kept thinking, it's like, oh, something's going to happen. Nope. Oh, this is going to happen. Nope. How about this? Nope. And then once it got to the fucking end, and then it does the unthinkable. It does that kind of ending you think they wouldn't do these days. I'm literally looking at my screen going, no, no, no. And then it goes to the fucking credits, and I'm just like, I can't fucking believe they did that. The whole movie was painful to sit through. It was trying to be Arthouse. The whole mystery thriller thing felt so like sprinkled all over the place, but it felt so disjointed. I absolutely hate this movie. I dislike it so fucking much. I honestly couldn't recommend it to anyone. I couldn't recommend it to people like Arthouse. I couldn't recommend people who like teen dramas, because there's so much out there that's way better. This movie is absolutely a mess. It just feels like it was just trying to be artsy and showy for the sake of it, thinking that if it did those things so cryptically, people will think it was deeper than it really was. But it's a puddle of piss is deeper than this. I'd rather grind my bare ass on broken glass than sit through this again.
All right, very well, Eric.
Thank you for that image, Abe.
All right, well,
it'll replace the image
of
the film.
I heard about it at the same time as everybody else when Phil jammed this down our throats, and forced us to watch this because he's a bad person. I'm gonna pull out a term we haven't used in a while: pretentious douchebaggery. Yeah, that's what this movie is. The only reason I showed up tonight is to warn our listeners away from this movie. It's not good. At one point during this movie, I was like, oh, this movie's awful, but at least it's almost over. And then I checked the time, and there was still an hour left. And I was just like, no! If you're thinking about watching this movie, I would suggest that you set your genitals on fire instead and thank me for it, because it'll be a better time.
Just some context there. The movie's only an hour and 40 minutes. So... I'm completely with you there, Eric, about your description. Like, so it's not like it's a 4-hour movie or anything. It only feels like
it.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Yeah, for me, like I said, I saw it pop up on iTunes, watched the trailer with the wife. She decided to pass, and we watched something else that night. I forget what. But the trailer, I felt, was pretty solid. It kind of reminded me of It Follows meets The Beach House meets a slasher film.
No, those are all good movies, Phil.
Well, that's true. But the trailer made it look like it. It looked like Abe said, a coming of age horror film, Deep South, but not like redneck South, but you know, just rural South. So it looked kind of interesting, and the trailer had some good music and all that. So it was just back in the back of my mind. So I threw it out as a suggestion to view. And I definitely have to say that the criticisms everybody has is fair. It is definitely a strange film. It's kind of cool to watch, but it's, I still have no idea what.
Just be very, very
about.
Drunk.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know what the film was about, unfortunately. I rented it and I said, all right, I just missed something. So I decided to watch the next night, but my rental had run out by like a half hour. And I said, ah, shit. So I said, all right, I'll have to rent it again. So I just decided to buy it. So I spent $20.
What the fuck is your issue?
Yeah. Well, because it's kind of...
You still haven't been punished enough. Jesus.
The atmosphere was pretty good, but yeah, the story was unfortunate. And a lot of times, I've thrown out, you know, blind films in the past, and many of them have been good, and many of them have been Australian horrendously hard-to-watch films.
Great torture movies.
Yeah, yeah. And after I watched this, I was like, oh, my God, I wish this was one of those Australian torture films, because at least I wouldn't get the shit that I'm going to get for this one, because I know the options. And so, yeah, I was more scared what other people were going to say to me than actually commenting on the film itself. And that's the reason why I kind of was off the radar about this film after.
I was kind of scared you were gonna like love the film.
Well, that's the thing. I thought I would. That's why I said I gotta watch this again, because it's the type of film that I could like. But then when I watch it again, it's like, yeah, it still doesn't answer. It's still, there's still no plot, really.
Well, and you wanted to know something really funny, Phil? If you go to Wikipedia and look up this movie, you know how most of the movies on Wikipedia have a plot section?
Yeah, I was hoping.
This one does not. This movie on Wikipedia does not have a plot section.
All right. So, yeah, so I went there to read the plot, and it's like, ah, oh, it's not there. So I'm like, I don't know what this film's about. So, Mike, I have grown. I haven't been defending the frat boys as much, and I'm not.
Well, there's only frat boys in this movie for about a third of a second.
Right.
Where they're asking the girl to take her clothes off. And at that point, they are the first characters in the entire, at that point, I'm going to say hour and 20, 25 minutes we've sat through, who weren't mopey. So,
yeah,
I was actually kind of happy to see the frat boys telling the girl to take her clothes off.
Right. Well, yeah, so, that's a good point, Mike. Yeah, the film is very melancholy, mopey, which can kind of be good. I like that type of stuff. But here, it was like, I still had no idea what was going on. I just know that I don't even know if the horror element, which turns out to be really not a horror element because it's really off screen the entire time, was even important to the film. And if the film was just about a girl that was sad that her mother suicided. And I still don't have any idea.
And but, it's everybody. See, I understand the girl who's sad that her mother committed suicide, admittedly, a year before. I'm saying that you get over it in a year, but like I could understand her being mopey the entire movie.
Right.
Everybody is mopey the entire movie.
Yep.
Right.
Everybody.
Yeah, right. I mean, I've seen many coming of age films where people are a little mopey because their innocence is lost and now they're moving on and they're not going to see their friends every year. And that kind of was here, but that mopiness that you see in those other films are like bittersweet, happy, sad. While here, everybody was just sad for no reason. And it was just consistent
there.
I don't get it.
They go skinny dipping at night. They're mopey. They go to an amusement park. They're mopey. There's a graduation ceremony. They're mopey. They're mopey at moments that makes no sense whatsoever for them to be mopey.
Right. There's a scene at a diner that reminded me of the diner in Porky's. And so I was expecting people would be, you know, happy. They're hanging out with their friends and whatever. And no, everybody was mopey. At the diner.
Because yeah, that one guy that kind of looked like a whale, he was a mopey dick.
Yeah, so then Mike did have a fair point about the dialogue. It sounds interesting, but it is very pretentious dialogue, I've noticed, and it really hit me that it was pretentious when I read some reviews. And they wrote it down, and I go, yeah, people don't talk that way.
I just needed to stand in your light again.
Oh, Lord.
All right, the sweat.
I'm just alone in the dark. Ugh. I mean, just. We're
going to melt together. And
yeah, it's just like.
And then the one other issue. And what was the other issue? Well, there was probably other issues. I actually can't even remember what it was. I was thinking of the dialogue again. But
how about the fact that after everything she sat through, she wakes up and it was all a fucking dream.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, there's a whole thing.
First of all,
it's never a good sign, and I know I am saying this for at least the second time on the podcast.
Yeah.
That when you start off a movie with a sequence that ends up being a dream, and it's not a Nightmare on Elm Street film, because at least that's appropriate, or maybe Dreamscape. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a bad movie, but it is never a good sign that you start off with a dramatic scene that ends up being just a nightmare.
Do we want to give a wiki on this?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
All right, yeah, so
we just went straight to the ranting.
Yeah. All right, Eric. So my opinion of the film is that it has some merit. And I did like the cinematography, especially, I mean, it was mostly filmed at night, which is pretty impressive for a first-time director.
It was mostly filmed at night.
Mostly.
the acting was generally good for what they had to do, and I was engrossed at points in the film. It's just that I don't know what happened. I still don't know what was going on, and Abe may have just summed it up for me, which is, it was just all a dream. And it's like, gee, that kind of sucks. So anyway, that's my thoughts. All right. So, Eric, do we have a wiki?
Wiki. a teenager's small town life is changed forever when a series of murders begin on the same night that her missing boyfriend suddenly reappears.
So fucking misleading.
Yeah. Go on, Mike.
I had issues, like, just even following the timeline of the film, because there were times I thought they were doing a flashback, and they weren't.
And then there were times they were doing flashbacks.
So, yeah, let's throw up a spoiler flag, but I don't even think it matters, because we've all watched the movie and we still don't know what happened, so.
Right.
My whole thing is, okay, I don't think it was clearly explained in the film. Can anybody tell me why her boyfriend left and came back?
Nope.
Okay.
Eric, this is what I was thinking, because I watched it 3 times like a fool. And it was because I said, there's got to be something in here. I have to. And the movie is well made, so I disagree with that. The story, there's something wrong with the story. So I was thinking maybe that she was the murderer of all the girls, or that he was the murderer
of all the girls.
Yeah.
I kept thinking it was maybe going to be that guy who kept trying to hit it on her. Or it's going to become some kind of twist, or it's going to be like the dad was doing it or something like that, or it's just something.
Yeah, because basically what's going on is the prior year, and then I guess this year, girls have not gone missing. They've actually been found dead from the local town. So there's mention of the neighboring town plus their own town. And so they think there's a serial killer out there, especially now that it's happening again this summer.
Because they're all girls that look the same, like the lead Charlotte character.
Right, played by Odessa Young, Australian actress. And so you figure something is up. Maybe Joe, who is the boyfriend of Odessa the prior summer, maybe the murderer. Maybe Odessa's dead, and this is her, you know, Jacob's Ladder moment. I
never went there.
Yeah, I was going everywhere.
Oh God, I tried. I did. Yeah, I was. I thought, is she dead? Is she the killer? Is he the killer? Is the dad the killer? Is the other boyfriend the killer?
Is there a giant somewhere?
Oh yeah, what? That fucking thing. The giant.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Why the hell would you think there's a giant in the film?
Well,
I don't know. Maybe the title.
Oh yeah. Well, there's also this weird kind of thing going around. Yeah. Well, there's also this weird thing going around with everyone talking about the giant. And are you afraid of the giant? I'm like, who the fuck's the giant?
He's supposed to be the serial killer, but yeah, I don't know.
Well, they mentioned the giant at the beginning of the film, and I only watched it. I gotta be honest. I only watched it once. Bad podcaster. At the beginning of the film, and then they go like an hour without mentioning it, and then mention it about 47 times in the last 20 minutes.
Right. Right.
So it seems almost like, wait, we need a theme for this. Giants? Okay, throw giants in a bunch at the end. Well, we better mention once at the beginning so it makes sense.
Yeah, and this is weird. You know, and it's kind of especially confusing because then she starts getting, when she goes to the party at near the end, she thinks telling everyone, we gotta get out of this place. It's a bad place, you know. We can't be here. And then another girl who hurts herself, some random chick, not her best friend, but somebody else, Hurts us. He said it's a bad place. We gotta leave. If we don't, we'll never get out. And I'm like, what the fuck is the house haunted? What are they talking about?
Right. I mean, I can understand why Odessa, I mean, not Odessa, that's the actress, Charlotte doesn't like the house because it's her family's old house where her mother suicided. But, so, you know, why, it's kind of macabre to be partying at the house that used to be your house that your mother suicided at. So I could see her wanting to get the hell out of there. But again, though, it was only a handful, those two girls, two or three girls, right? Because all the guys were, and other girls were there partying and having a blast, right?
They yeah. Weren't, you know, they weren't, well, so, it's the way she was making it sound, she made it sound like everyone was going to start dropping dead within minutes.
Right. And then they show the, have this weird perspective where there may be a giant out in the forest when the thunder happens. But and then one of the boys turns and says, party! They all run out and have, you know, and it's like, okay, so maybe this is a unreliable narrator thing where the girls are, you know, taking mushrooms or drunk or something, and they're just thinking the lightning is in the trees or the giant, while everybody else who's half sane just sees it as, wow, look at that thunderstorm, you know. So I don't know.
Well, she sees it later too, so it's like, what the hell?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing: the first 15 minutes I felt was pretty solid, because there's a scene where they're like, we were talking about that they were skinny dipping, and they're talking about, you know, end of summer and all this other stuff, and one of the girls says, I haven't swam at night, and who knows what's out there at night. And then one of the boys, like you said, says, take the, you know, jump in, go swimming, and shoots fire, roman candles at her, and so she jumps in or whatever. And then when she comes out of the water, you hear this scream in the distance, and everybody stopped
and listening. And, yeah, that had me hooked for a few minutes. I was like, oh my god, yeah, this is getting good. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and the kids were they played it. The writing was great because they go, I think that's a fox, because foxes sound like that, and so don't what do you call it? Fisher cats. So, you know, it could be an animal, but it also could be a woman screaming in the distance. And it's like, well, yeah, what the hell is it? And then they head off to the diner, you know, because, you know, it's in the distance on the other side of the lake. And then later they find out there's a murder that happened, and the girl is talking either to her ex-boyfriend Joe, who disappeared, and says that I was there and I heard the girl screaming. And so there was kind of some cool moments. It's just that, like Abe said, there's no payoff. And it's like, what was it about? What?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I didn't.
What was it about? I don't know.
I didn't like it already. I turned to my wife, Pam, who, by the way, said she really did not like that movie. And I told her I would bet cash money that I didn't like it even more than she did. But I turned, I said, do you understand what the fuck is going on in this movie? And she said, no. They're having this dialogue in the car, and and they look at the truck and they're talking about the Joe. And it's like, all right, they're already doing this thing where they're trying to be also spooky and mysterious about a thing that happened in the past, and they don't want to mention it. And like the truck never like came back again, right? I mean,
right.
You know,
right. Well,
just,
but they were trying to allude that,
I mean,
it was
he
Joe's
was driving
truck
it for the rest of the movie.
Well, he was right, but so what was the deal? That was what I'm saying. Like, and he just shows up. So this thing happened with this guy Joe a year ago. They haven't seen him for a year. We don't want to even talk about him.
Right.
It can't possibly be history. So what? He died or something horrible happened to him? I have no idea. They never really get back to it.
Right.
And then she gets back home and he's there waiting for her. And I'm like, is this a flashback? Because I thought this guy has disappeared for a year. I think you would make a bigger deal of the fact that he came back.
Right. Well, that's like, the thing. I read a review that said, if you didn't notice, no one else seems to see Joe except her.
Right. And so, I did notice that.
Yeah,
and so nothing ever came of it.
Right. So was Joe even there? Was, you know, but this thing is that we're trying to decipher all this. And then as Abe said at the end, she just wakes up and the whole thing was a dream, so it doesn't even matter. So I don't know. Why did he disappear? Did he disappear because he got a job? Did he join the military? Did he go to college? Did he die? Did he murder the girl and run? No one knows. And they don't even explain it. And yet when he shows up, she doesn't seem that frightened, but she seems kind of happy, but also kind of angry and kind of sad. And so I don't know.
No, it didn't make. Let me tell you, the thing that annoyed me the most in this film, and it's got to be up there for it to be the thing that annoyed me the most, given everything else that annoyed me. If you watch enough movies and you pay attention to how they're put together, you start to notice little tricks. And one of the little tricks is, let's say you have two characters and one character leaves and disappears for a good part of the film. And then later on in the film, they pop up at the police station and the audience is confused as to how that character ended up at the police station. So what they'll do is they'll go back, and as the character has turned around and left, they will dub in the actress saying something like, "I'm going to go get the police." So now they have explained where this character is going and how she ended up at the police station later. But they will always do it where the character – they have to find footage where you can't see the character's mouth because they never said those words originally. They weren't in the script.
Right. I know what you're saying.
But they had to overdub it. I would say 50% of the dialogue in this film is done without through the back of a person's head.
Or Mike, even more noticeable. And I didn't really notice it until I read reviews, but they said there was a lot of not monologues, but what are those things when someone's speaking, narrating the film? I forget what that's called.
Exposition? No.
Yeah.
Soliloquy?
None of those, but it's a term where
narration.
I guess it's just called narration, maybe. But there's another term I thought.
Pontificating? I don't know.
But basically, it's similar to like Stand By Me when Richard Dreyfuss is talking over the what we're seeing.
Well, narration,
is narration. Yeah.
So I guess it's just narration.
Voiceovers.
Yeah, voiceover. That's another one. Yeah, that's probably the word I was looking for. So a narration voiceover thing, and it was a lot of those, and that's where we got some of the weird dialogue, like when Joe saying, "I remember in the summer when it was humid and the sweat, and the humidity, and the pain, and I felt we were just gonna melt away,"
I don't like sand. It gets everywhere.
And here's the thing. There's another thing I noticed. I couldn't help but notice. They talk about the heat, and they basically filmed a large portion of the film using, at night with cool filters, right? Which is not how you convey the essence of heat in a film.
Well, they did have the sweat on the people, so I'll give them that. So
But anyway, the reason that whole thing was annoying me is the fact, well, one, you can't see the people's faces.
Right.
And it just adds to the pretentiousness of that we're going to speak slowly in the dark while I'm not looking into the camera or anywhere in the direction of the camera. I'm going to look at the key grip over there holding the light. I'm going to. But it's also, again, and this is may very well be a me thing, is that my brain is thinking, is this all stuff written later? And there's so much of it. It can't all have been written later to clarify what's going on in the story because they don't clarify a goddamn thing in this story.
And
it's all this nonsense, pretentious dialogue. And I guess maybe he's trying to do the dream thing, but I don't know. I think if you're trying to do a dream-like thing, you try to make it clearer that it's a dream-like thing. Like mentioned Jacob's Ladder. No, I have not watched Jacob's Ladder, and I'm referring to the original, not the remake. I've never seen the remake.
There was a remake?
There was a remake. It snuck in and out of theaters or whatever a year ago.
That
or
doesn't
so.
Seem like a good idea.
No. But Jacob's Ladder, you're watching it. It's clear they're going for this nightmarish thing.
Right?
This surreal tone. Here, I don't get the sense that that's what they're doing.
Right. I agree. There is no nightmarish thing. The thing is, the you said mopey. I would say melancholy. So it's like this dark cloud that's just over the lead characters.
And this is weird thing with the way everything's delivered is that the topics are heavy stuff, but the way it's done in terms of the writing makes it feel like melodrama.
Right.
Yeah. Melodrama. That's a good one. Yeah.
There was a line my wife laughed at. I don't know why she laughed at it. I don't know if she laughed at the delivery or the pretentiousness or if she just thought it was a funny idea about the idea. Do you ever wonder what happens to the dream when you wake up? Does it just keep on going into somebody's parallel
life? I remember that line. I thought that was right. A fairly decent line, even though
I thought it was a decent line, a little bit heavy the way that it was written and delivered for what's supposed to be a 17 or 18 year old, but fine. It felt a little weird. That is by far not the only, are far from the only line of dialogue that feels weird for a 17 year old to be speaking. So that's like the only hint you get at the very beginning of the movie that it's all a dream. And then, but the rest of it, it just feels, you know, like there was a line where, like, for example, where he says, remember how it used to be, and then we cut. And you think when someone says, remember how it used to be, and then you cut to a completely different scene, that you think that's going to be a flashback, but nope, it wasn't a flashback.
Right.
It was set in the present. It just felt like it was going to be. Here's a flashback cue, but no, it's not. It's like doing the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. But you're just cutting to the next step in the story. And I'm always willing to say this when I don't get a movie. I'm always willing to say, if you think I'm a complete idiot, then please write Phil and tell him I'm a complete idiot and explain to me how I'm a complete idiot. Because I did not get the film, and I do not think it was competently done. This isn't even a case where I think they had some great ideas and they just sort of missed. It just felt poorly executed all over the place. I don't even agree, Phil, with you and thinking it looked good. I thought it looked terrible. I think it was... I'm sitting here watching my lovely new 4K TV and thinking I can't see a fucking thing. I'm watching Black Mirror. That's what I'm watching. It's like a big, nobody is ever facing the camera when they're talking, you know, it's just, I hated everything about this film. I really, except the music, which I have zero opinion on. And that's the best thing I could say.
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna. I didn't notice the people not looking at the camera as much as you. I did notice the voiceover narration a lot, though. I don't know. It's like you said, Mike. There's no understanding of the story.
And when was this? When was this story set?
I'm speechless.
Can we stop talking about this movie now?
I do have one question, because this confused the hell out of my wife and I. The fuck was this movie set? When was it set?
I don't know.
Didn't the truck at the beginning say something like seniors 71?
Class of 71. Exactly. Yeah.
And then later they have a cordless phone.
They have a cell phone. They're driving in a car that was clearly not a 1971 car from the interior of it. Now I'm willing to ignore that because, you know, budget on a low budget film. But you know what's actually a way to stick to a budget is not have a cell phone in a movie supposed to be set in 1971. I didn't get any 1971 vibes from it. Like, nobody was dressed like 1971. Nobody spoke like it was 1971. There was no 1971 music in it.
And I can't think.
And they mentioned Nightmare Before Christmas, which is like 1994, 1995.
I don't think it can be credibly set in 1971. So then why the fuck was that painted on the truck?
At the beginning of the film. And they focus on it.
Yeah. I think it's supposed to be because it's supposed to make you feel more nostalgic. More artsy and nostalgic.
Oh, don't use that voice ever.
Well, I had no idea when it took place. I assumed it was going to be one of those It Follows where it's ambiguous intentionally. But if they really did say 1971, and I honestly don't remember, then that's not good.
Well, I was starting to doubt myself on that later in the movie when I saw the electronic devices. But if Mike saw it too, then I'm willing to say it's yeah.
I saw it. Pam saw it.
Okay.
And
the difference between me and Phil is that I wasn't going to go back and fucking check.
Right.
And but I can still, my rental is still functioning, so I can actually go back and do that now. But I won't because I'm not a masochist. I already have to go back and get my eye stabbed again on December 29th. Doesn't mean I have to watch this movie again.
I watched it three times. Spent $20.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Because the film had to say something.
Go watch this television series.
Phil, do you get off of that?
No. That's what it's up.
There are people that go to Las Vegas to pay to have this sort of thing done to them. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you probably get that anywhere, but yeah, I don't, you know, it was the thing that was bizarre about the film is that, and again, I'm speechless. All I can say is there's no story.
There was no story. So why are we still talking about it?
Well, that's the thing is that sometimes there's films can be good when there's no story because it's just, you know, a coming of a, you know, like for example, Lost in Translation, that type of film, which is just an interesting film that had a minimalist story, if any, and it's good because you at least understand what's going on. And here, there was none. And the thing is that, like you guys said, yeah, I mean, what year did it take place? If you throw that out, then you don't know which year, and that's fine. But then even that ambiguity of the time period, which I'm sure the director wanted, is ruined if, in fact, there is that 1971 line.
Exactly. In the film. And that's the difference between this and It Follows, where It Follows deliberately throws things in there to fuck around with the time to keep it this sort of weird, nebulous, timeless thing. So you don't really know for sure what's going on. And then you have the little clamshell reader thing.
Right.
He's doing it deliberately, intentionally. He doesn't have like a calendar in a shot that tells you what the date is.
Right.
So there was literally no purpose to having that there other than to tell you that these were seniors that had just graduated. And why 71, I have no idea. I mean, you could have done class of written 19 or 20 and had the back of it smeared and so you couldn't tell what it was. And so you didn't get a time. But even just doing that, right, it pegs it down at a time.
Well, and that's interesting you say that, Mike, because one of the reviewers – because I thought this was a really weird thing in the movie and then it was mentioned in the reviews. But, you know, I always try to lead out with a song from the movie at the end of this podcast. And there was a song when her and Joe are riding, her and that guy that Abe thought maybe that was kind of boisterous, that could have been the killer that he thought, which it turned out he wasn't. Are riding home. He's driving.
Or was
home.
He?
Yeah, who knows? And he's driving her home, and they're playing music in the car, and they say, "Oh, this could be the prom song." And I said, "Okay, this is the song that I'll use as the exit, unless." I can't identify it, and they purposely like faded out, and you barely hear it. And so I said that was kind of weird. I'm gonna have to, you know, look in the credits when it rolls. And anyway, I start looking at reviews after the film, which I kind of always do. I always try to watch, read the reviews after by major critics, and one of them actually mentioned that they say that the film is. I don't think they really liked the film, but they said the film was kind of unidentifiable where it takes place because they even fade out the music in the song that they claim could be the song for the prom.
So it was the song of the summer, is I think.
Yeah,
the sound song, of the summer.
Yeah, and I was thinking maybe it was he didn't get the rights to play the song and that's why he faded it out. But you know, you could have just grabbed some local band that, you know, and hired them to do one song, and they would have done it for sure, like Kevin Smith did in his first film. So he didn't do that. So it's like, what was the point of even talking about the song if we can't even hear the song? And then the critics said that maybe it was intentional because they were trying to make the film timeless, of what confused the audience what time it took place.
No, I think it's just shitty storytelling.
Well, I don't know if there was a storytelling, though.
Filmmaking. Shitty filmmaking.
Both.
Yeah.
Are we done yet?
Well, there's gotta be something. I was hoping one of you would tell me what this film was about.
So this is why I'm never forgiving Christy, because Christy could have been here and found something to tell us why this was brilliant imagery or total worship.
I'm pretty sure that she watched the movie and all of a sudden, oh, there's a work thing I gotta do. Yeah, right, Christy.
She is not forgiven ever.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Chrissy's a weird one, because when it comes to artsy fartsy shit, because some artsy fartsy she loves and then other artsy fartsy she hates, and who I don't know. That's why I was hoping she would.
I mean, if she can explain this movie to us, then more power to her. But I don't. I think that's beyond even her powers.
I am always, like I said, I am always willing for someone to point out the obvious, the thing that I missed.
Yeah,
and maybe that will get, and that has on, I wish I could think of an example right now, but on rare occasions someone will frame a film or a TV episode or something a certain way, and it will change the way I look at it, and most of the time not, but I'm willing to at least give it a shot.
Yeah, well, see, and that's the thing, is that out of all the characters, besides, you know, the peripheral characters that were just happy-go-lucky, having fun during the summer and going woohoo, you know, that makes sense, especially when you just graduated. But for all the lead characters, the only one that made sense and actually was completely, I could relate to 100%, was her father. Because here he is, he's a cop. He has to investigate the murders. And as the movie goes, he's just becomes more and more depressed. And then they have him in the shadows later in the film to symbolize, I assume, his depression. And then he says, I have to quit. I'm retiring. I can't do this. And it all makes sense because, you know, if you're a cop and you're seeing young girls the same that look like his daughter murdered, it, you know, that makes sense. So his character, everything his character does made sense. And I said, all right, I got that part. All right, that's good. But then the murders have nothing to do with the rest of the story, and we still don't know why her mother suicided, and we don't know what happened to Joe and what was all about, and no one's talking about, like, Joe was like, oh, he could have been the murderer. So it wasn't like they're talking about him in the past as in negative. They just said, what the hell happened to Joe? And then we have the very ending, which Abe kind of slapped me in the face when he brought it up, which is, it was just all a dream. And if that's the case, then what was the whole point of the dream, except that she's sad because her life
and furthermore, what's the point of talking about this anymore?
So yeah, well, that's fair, Eric, but I'm thinking, if, let's just say the whole movie was a dream, then so is she just sad that she's now becoming an adult? Maybe that's all the movie is about someone that is sad they're becoming an adult. Yes?
Bill?
Yes. Yes.
Are you familiar with Occam's Razor?
Yeah, I've heard of that. And I used to know it offhand, but I usually always look it up when anybody brings it up, and I go, oh, yeah, I remember that now. So that,
okay, so it is the simplest explanation that fits all the evidence is most likely the truth.
Okay.
The simplest explanation that fits all the evidence we have, yep, is just that the movie sucks.
Yeah, I know you think that, Mike, and I know you didn't think the film was well made, but
Phil,
yeah,
sometimes dead is better.
That's true. that's true, Abe. That is true. I
tell you what, Phil. You go watch the movie one more time, and we're about to talk about news. Okay.
Well, I don't think once is enough.
I have it on in the background now, trying to see if anything pops up that will remind me of something of note that I wanted to bring up. But what about her knee getting bloody? What did that symbolize? Why did that?
Nothing.
Yeah. That's the thing that's upsetting me about this.
Why are you forcing us to talk about this movie more? You forced us to watch the goddamn thing. Now you won't shut the fuck up.
What is that line from their favorite movie there, Eric?
Which movie?
The one where when someone is naughty, what's the...
Oh, punish!
Well, that's the reason why I watched it three times, was not just to be punished, but because there's it's got to say something.
No, it's just bad.
No, it really doesn't.
I've never seen a film that wasn't this wasn't as unclear as this film.
Well, this is
unclear film, but this is really unclear.
I'm not sure if I've told this story before on the podcast, but when I used to work in an ice cream parlor when I was like 18, when I was a senior in high school, The guy who ran the ice cream parlor was all homemade ice cream. And he made, which he apparently had been trying for years to get the recipe right, he made black licorice ice cream.
Okay.
Why?
I don't know, but he did. Okay. And if you worked there, as I did, not only you ate it about once a week, you would try it. And the reason you would try it about once a week is because you couldn't fathom that it was actually as awful as what your memory told you. Okay. And yet, when you tried it again... No, it really was just as awful as you remembered. And,
right,
of course,
right.
you also had to offer it to every person you knew who walked in.
Yeah.
And you had to tell them, you have to try this. You won't believe how terrible it is. I think this is where your brain is, Phil. You're just refusing to accept the truth.
Well, that's
it
the
is,
thing.
Really is.
You're probably right, but unlike like other films that I've hated – This film didn't really make me angry or hate it, so it's like, yeah. So
then you need to keep watching it.
I'm just confused.
Don't worry, Phil. The rest of us are angry enough for you.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. It really is.
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean, it could be worse. I could have watched it three times.
Yeah, and spent $20 instead of six or seven. Yeah. And I, you know, I'm going to be watching this in January.
When you do
something.
It, what, if you watch this movie again, light your genitals on fire while you do it. It might be more enjoyable.
Oh, by the way, spoiler warning: worst film of the year.
Oh,
I think so.
Yes.
This is taking it.
What about Daphne? She meets Daphne and her boyfriend in the diner. And, you know, later Daphne, we find out, is a murder victim. And then we have the boyfriend all has blood on and his car's all fucked up with the deer they hit. And then you think, okay, that doesn't make sense. But then Daphne says, yeah, the deer was pregnant. And then you go outside. She goes outside, meaning Charlotte, and she sees the white car has all the blood on it. So, okay, the story's real because Daphne wouldn't be lying and stuff. But all that has to mean something.
No, it doesn't. We're done.
Oh, my God.
All right. All right, so anything else anybody wanted to bring up? Is there any other scenes that anybody wanted to talk about?
God, no.
Just Mike? Let it die.
Mike?
No. No.
No. No.
God.
All right.
Please, God, let us talk about something else.
Oh my God!
Well, and that's the thing is that two things. One was when I was watching it by the third time, I'm like, my co-hosts are going to be so pissed.
Yep.
So pissed. And
yep.
How can I make this worse? Yeah, let me keep talking about it when they want to just switch the topic.
Yeah. All right. Let's just switch the topic. We'll come back and give our final thoughts at the end of the film, at the end of the podcast. But there's been some news and stuff. Plus, we have what we've been watching and all that good stuff. So I know some big news came out today, especially, and I assume that's one of the things you wanted to bring up, Mike.
Yeah. Well, on the lighter side, David Prowse died. I wanted to bring that up.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's, the gentleman that played Darth Vader. Am I right?
He was the gentleman under the mask in the first three Star Wars films, right, playing Darth Vader. So now, basically, the only members of the original cast that are still alive are Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford.
What about C-3PO? He's still alive, right?
And Anthony Daniels. I didn't forget about that.
Jones is still alive, isn't he?
I think he may have Alzheimer's, but I think or dementia, but he's still kicking.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, but we are losing. There's a, I think Mark Hamill may have posted it, where it's a picture of the cast, and all and like everyone except for him and Harrison Ford are like replaced by Force ghosts, or like so they get like the blue glow.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
There was that. And now this is killing me. The actor who played Immortan Joe in Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Snowbiter in the first Mad Max film. He recently passed. So in all seriousness, you know, I don't honestly know much about the about that actor. I've never heard anybody. I know David Prowse was on the outs with Lucasfilm for whatever reason. But I've never heard anyone really say anything bad about him who met him or dealt with him. Right. And he seemed like a good guy. I mean, he's English, right. So, you know, there's limits. But
Well, we do know that the guy from Mad Max, the director, obviously had some working relationship because he brought him back.
I mean, look, we all get old. We're all going to die. It's still sad. You know, we acknowledge their passing. We thank them for their work they did and wanted to recognize that. Sure. In actual happy news, Clive Barker did get the rights back to Hellraiser. So,
oh, cool.
Sure. At least it's the U.S. rights. I think that may have been the big holdup. So maybe that means no more really awful, like, last-minute Hellraiser movies made for $1.95 so they could retain the rights to it.
Actually, I think that guarantees it, Mike.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that Clive Barker can't make his own shitty Hellraiser movies. That's entirely possible.
Right. Well, he
but
did.
They won't,
he
but
did.
They won't be just rights grabs.
Right. Well, the first one he actually wrote and directed, right?
Right.
So, and most people consider that a cult classic. So, I'm assuming if he hasn't lost that ability, yeah, he could make a good one. But yeah, you're right. There's always a chance. But at least let him have the chance versus the $1.99 versions. Like
yeah,
you were saying.
I have much less of a problem with some creator messing up their own premise than
exactly.
Somebody else doing it.
Well, yeah. And especially when they're literally saying, we are only doing it because we want to retain the rights. They're putting no effort into writing a script. They're not doing anything. I remember Doug Bradley, who plays Pinhead, you know, basically said, you know, his fee for playing Pinhead was like less than what it would cost to get a new refrigerator, and they wouldn't even pay that.
Right. I mean, these things happen a lot. Like Richard. I think the author's name, Richard Jordan, he passed away a couple of years ago, has these books that everybody loves. And someone got the rights and they were about to lose the rights after sitting on it for like 7 years. And they made a film and they released it at 2 a.m. on like some obscure TV station. And as a result, they got to keep the rights another 10 years. And that's why those series hasn't become, you know, the next Game of Thrones like everybody's asking for. And that's what was happening to Hellraiser. And that's what's happened to the Fantastic Four.
Right. And that was the original Fantastic Four. That,
and Spider-Man,
that,
too, right?
That was, yeah. Oh. So anyway, so I'm happy that he got those rights back. So maybe we'll be able to get a quality story about Nightmare Suffering. Phil, you mentioned something about torture porn films earlier on in the podcast. Yes. I just want to remind everybody that they have announced that they are going to be releasing the unrated cut of one of film's all-time favorite films and one of the earliest running jokes on the Dark Discussions podcast. They're going to release the unrated cut of a Serbian film.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, yeah. I saw it.
Oh, my Lord.
On Blu-ray. Jesus. So... So just in case you thought, you know, they pulled back a little too much from the baby rape, here you go. You can really.
Yes, I saw that. Well, it's actually a doll.
Yeah, we understand that. It's still like if you went over to your friend's house and they had like a blow up doll of a 5-year-old, they said, no, it's okay. It's only a doll. It'd still be a little little disturbed.
I yeah, I'm very disturbed. Jesus.
And it's a doll that in the movie is supposed to be a baby. It's not. I mean, it's standing in for a baby. But anyway, it's look. I know Reagan. I cannot bring myself to watch the film, but there are a lot of people who really do like the film and it has gotten some good notices. It's just a mental hurdle I'm not gonna really be able to get over. But I just did think it was funny that it was the unrated version is coming out, so I didn't want to mention that. But the other thing I think that was big news that dropped, I guess today. There have been rumors on a smaller scale, but basically Warner Brothers is saying, fuck you. We're releasing every one of our 2021 movies simultaneously to theater and on home video on HBO Max. And so, for instance, when Wonder Woman drops on December 25th, it will release in theaters and it will release on HBO Max for a 30 or 31 day window.
Yep.
And then I don't know what's happening outside that 31 day window. Now they using your marketer's logic or maybe a lawyer's logic, saying how this will be a great thing for theaters. I don't know quite how, other than the fact that they will get the movies out there. I don't know if this is going to be just like I know with Wonder Woman, it was going in theaters around the world and streaming in the United States because we don't have our theaters open. But my understanding is, you know, large parts of the world are also dealing with their resurgence of the virus. So we'll see what happens.
We have our theaters open over here where me and Abe live.
Yeah, but New York and California don't. And those are two of the biggest theater markets, unfortunately. So that's hurting.
I have to check there for a second, Mike. Yeah, so a couple things about this is, I don't think it's going to help theaters. It's definitely going to help Warner Brothers because it's now going to get – and for folks who are curious, you get it free with your subscription to HBO Max. So it's not like you have to pay additional like they were pulling with Disney and Mulan. So – that's kind of cool. So you're going to figure that for $14.99 a month, HBO Max, where you get all the great television shows plus brand new blockbuster films, that's a deal. And I think they're going to get a lot of subscribers because of it. And I think they're now going to use HBO Max as their tool, like Apple is doing with Apple Plus, because Apple Plus is going to have a bunch of really big shows coming out next year too, to obviously get viewership drives to join them. So
I think that's a little bit different, and I don't know if people are still going to think this is awesome when HBO Max ceases functioning on Christmas Day.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, because like Disney bombed there for a little bit too.
Right. Well, Disney was like the day. I mean, it's not that big a deal, and that was under launch.
Yeah.
So you know, HBO Max has been up and running now since spring, I think.
It's
been running for quite a bit.
It may not be an issue. I mean, because Game of Thrones was pretty huge, and that didn't crash it when everybody.
I am willing to bet that there is a significant uppage in the number of viewers that are going to tune in to see Wonder Woman on Christmas than an episode of Game of Thrones.
Especially when they release that unrated version.
What unrated version? Of
it's
Wonder
a
Woman?
Joke. It was just a joke.
It was a bad joke, but it was a joke.
Okay. It was a callback to the Serbian film. Yeah. So I think you got to remember, it's $15 a month, I think.
Gil Gadot, Uncensored.
For HBO Max.
Settle down, Phil.
So if you get, let's say, 100 million subscribers out of a world population of 7 billion, if you get 100 million subscription, that's $1.5 billion every month.
Right. Which is what basically Netflix was kind of sort of doing.
Right, which is also, by the way, that is basically a blockbuster film every month without splitting the proceeds with a theater.
Right. And you keep the rights too. In other words, I don't even know if they're going to have it on VOD anywhere. And if they do, they may not have it as purchase or rental. Well, so they force people to go, why should I rent Wonder Woman when I can just get HBO Max for the year and spend $100 or whatever. But anyway, continue.
Right. Now there are certain films, me being me, I will want to see them in theaters. And especially since I
imagine... That's just you. That's just you.
And that, and I know that. And there are, but I'm not. It's not just me. There are others like me who will do that.
But there's a lot of others that are saying, yes, I don't have to go to the theater.
Yeah, that are fine with that. You know, but like, I want to see... I want to see Kong versus Godzilla in theaters. I want to see probably Conjuring. Now, unless, of course, they get shitty reviews. Like, if Conjuring 3 gets shitty reviews, I'm not going to want to see it in theaters. I'll watch it at home. You know, Matrix 4, if it gets shitty reviews, I'll watch it at home. If it gets great reviews, I'll probably want to see it in theaters. There are certain movies I'm going to want to see in theaters, and there are certain movies I'll just stay at home and watch, though. But... You know, I mean, my real concern is going to be this is going to be upsetting a model. If this does not work to get them subscribers, because number one, it's going to be a lot easier to bootleg the films at high quality. So that's going to be a problem for them. There are a lot of people who are watching these things illegally on jailbroken devices. So there's one possibility. And
what does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
It's where you basically find workarounds that Amazon Fire Sticks are notorious for it, where people go in, they remove the regulations on it so that you can pretty much put on whatever illegal torrents that you want.
It's like back in the cable days when you used to get porn but for free by accident.
Right. Yeah. There was the movie channel you could get for free with my cable box in like 1982, where you press the up and down arrow at the same time when you're on like channel 31, and it would go to channel 30, but it would unscramble and you could watch anything for free on the movie channel, which wasn't a porn channel. It was just like a free movies. It's all great movies, you know, like The Thing or whatever. Anyway, continue. I'm sorry. So I know what you're talking about. So it's more high tech than that, but same idea.
Right. So it may not be what they're counting on. There's a reason why, and we keep saying this, there's a reason why they're holding these movies and not just releasing them to video. It's because they make most of their money at the box office. And these movies are made on credit cards, right? These movies are made on loan. You know, you take a movie, you make it for $400 million. The studios don't have $400 million cash on hand to dish out.
Right.
Well,
but films like Scoob and Trolls 2,
which didn't go to theaters because they cost $1.50 to make,
and they made a fortune. Well, I don't know how cheap they were. They were still expensive, but I don't think they were
not that expensive. I mean, they're not Wonder Woman expensive or Black Widow expensive or Kong versus Godzilla expensive.
Yeah, well, Trolls was $110 million, so that's pretty expensive.
To make it.
Yeah, to make it exactly.
That baffles me.
Well, no, that animated films, like especially big budget ones like Trolls and the Disney stuff, those are like 100 and something million.
Computers aren't free, Mike.
Scoob was not.
Yeah, I understand that, but you also don't have necessarily big actors.
Scoob was $90 million. Well, that's not true. Trolls had big actors. They had the chick from Maine that Eric likes, and then
you wouldn't call them the chick that Maine Eric likes.
the chick from that was in that movie with Blake Lively. She's from Maine.
Anna Kendrick. She's a national treasure. Learn her fucking name.
And Justin Timberlake. That's the other guy. Yes, I mean they had some big names in Trolls too. Those are big names.
All right, and also some of that also could have to do with marketing because all the toys were shipping around then too.
Well, I'll give you that. Trolls and Scoob, even though they were both $100 million each to make, and animated films are usually big bucks, especially high-profile ones, those have an audience that everybody was going to watch anyway. Right?
Are you two arguing about this?
No, not arguing about it. I'm just saying. I certainly see potential for it to fuck up the theaters. I see potential for it to backfire on HBO. It's on Warner Brothers. I think it's going to be an interesting experiment to see what happens with it. And well, I think a lot of the other studios are going to be watching to see what happens with it.
I'm kind of on Mike's side of things of wanting to have the choice to still go to the theater to see things. However, yeah, right now things are effed in the United States. Theaters are closed here in Michigan. Theaters are closed in California, New York, and I'm sure a bunch of other places. So they can't rely on the box office draw that they used to get from releasing movies in the theaters. So they got to try something, because they can't just not have any movies released until vaccines been distributed widely, because that's going to probably be a year and a half, 2 years from now.
I think it's a good idea.
I phrased my thing carefully. I said distributed widely.
And that's fair. And I think it's a good idea because, again, that's how Netflix started growing, was not just having old movies and licenses of old shows and whatever. They started putting out their own material, as did Amazon Prime and whatnot. And that's why Apple said, oh, we could do this. And then HBO Max says, oh, we can make this into, you know, the Game of Thrones every week, you know, and whatnot. So I think it could really work for them, because people will want to now subscribe to them. I mean, that's the thing.
I think it'll work. I think they're going to get a shit ton of subscribers. I'm just saying, I as much as I want to be able to see these movies, I hope it doesn't kill movie theaters altogether, because I'd still like to be able to go to the theater. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah.
It's going to hurt it considerably, because just as digital books have hurt libraries and bookstores, the COVID is now causing the theaters to be hurt. So I think it's going to be permanent, the problem. I mean, their theaters will still be there, but I don't think they'll ever be like they were prior to the COVID.
Well, the question is, what do the theaters do to respond? What did the theaters do to respond?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm a capitalist, and if you can find a way to sell something, give people what they want, then do it. As long as it's legal, you know, and not consciously harming people, you know, then go ahead. And if people want to watch Kong versus Godzilla at home on a little TV set when they could be watching it on IMAX, well, it's not my fault they're wrong. Let them do it. Let them suffer.
No, actually, that's the thing. Is like people have TVs like you, Mike, with surround sounds like Eric. And that's good. That works.
No, it's not the same. It's still not the same.
Actually, it's better, because you don't get 4K or HD at the theaters.
Yes, you do.
You do on the TV. No, it's yes, a light that goes through.
No, you're going to lose this argument.
They use laser projection in the theaters, Phil.
They project. What's that?
They use like laser projectors in the theater. They get
the
unbelievably high.
The theater is way more than 4K. It's like 50,000K.
Yeah, it's insane.
Either way, these new TVs that are huge, you know, 65 inches or whatever, you get a fine experience.
Is that 40 feet?
Or 65 feet?
I don't think you need it.
Hey, well, look, Roland Emmerich got one thing right. Size matters. For
the theater experience.
I don't
know. That's a fact, Phil. It's not even an opinion. There are a lot of people that enjoy the theater experience.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you that. I'm indifferent to it. I mean, I like going to theaters. Prior to COVID, you know, I was going once a week probably.
Yeah.
And when I was single, I was going maybe two times a week. But again, I've discovered since all that even before COVID, I was already discovering that there's a lot of damn good films on TV, and the TVs are so great now that, and the surround sounds are so great now that it didn't really bother me, and I don't have to be near people who suck. So
now, that's the nice thing about going to theaters now. Nobody's in them. I've had this conversation several times, and people are like hysterical. You're going to die. You want to get the COVID. Nobody's in the theaters. Like every time you go in, it's a private viewing experience because nobody else is going.
Sure. Right. And it depends on who you're listening to about you're going to die anyway. You know, I mean, it's some people are hysteric and some people are like, it's not an issue at all.
Right. And I'll also point out, you know, I'm living in the middle of nowhere, you know, where if I'm living in, let's say, a high density urban area, you know, then that might be another story, you know. And by the way, this is just a difference in the experience. The experience of someone living, you know, in Manhattan or Los Angeles going to see a movie in a movie theater there, it may be very different from someone going to see one, you know, in upstate New York.
Right. Yeah, for the COVID, for the issues with COVID. You're absolutely right.
For issues with COVID and, you know, yeah. the issues of having annoying teenagers in the back or whatever. You know, if you are smart about picking your show times, you know, I can usually go see a film without worrying about having screaming children or irritating teenagers in the theater.
But I you know what, though? Let's say COVID disappears and Warner Brothers still says, you know what, we're going to release it both on HBO Max and theaters. I like that option better.
That's what the plan is right now.
No. But that, I'm thinking that's the best option of all, because now you don't have to go to the theater and you can actually watch it straight on your TV.
Well,
which is
and there's always going to be a market for going to the theaters, right? Like if you're a teenager, you know, and you're going on a date, you don't want to, you don't want to be sitting at home groping your girlfriend next to grandma on the couch. You'd rather be in a theater groping your girlfriend next to a total stranger.
Well, everybody has like 5 TVs now in their house, it seems. So you can.
No, that's just you, Phil. Phil apparently is buying an Apple TV for every room of the house, including his closet in the garage.
Well, you have to do it for you know, each individual in the house, kind of.
You know, Phil, you really ought to contact the Apple people and explain to them about these things called podcasts that they may be familiar with, and how you'd love to plug their stuff every month for a small fee. As opposed to be doing it like voluntarily.
Indeed. No, I didn't bring it up. Eric brought it up. I didn't bring up Apple.
I did.
You brought it up earlier.
Oh, yeah, I did. That was true. But anyway, either way, my point is that I like the option where you have either or.
No, and that's fine. Having a choice is good. I just hope that one of the choices doesn't go away. That's all I was saying.
I would concur with that statement, Eric.
Right. The benefit for this right now for HBO Max is that they did not have a great launch, especially in comparison to Disney, because Disney, one, has Disney cultists. All right. Like Apple was giving away Apple TV to people.
They might still be, actually.
They still are. If you still buy any product, you get it for free.
Right.
For a year.
Right. So that helps. And HBO didn't have anything like that. And so that's put them in a bad position. It's put them in a weak negotiating position with getting their app on Roku or on or an Amazon Fire, which are the two top selling dedicated streaming devices.
I still don't understand. Oh, because their Roku is trying to get money or something, and they say fuck
you. Well, like anything else, it's Roku says we will let you on for a certain fee, and HBO Max is saying, and fuck we will you. Pay you this much, and Roku's saying we are not letting you going to take it for this much. We want this much, and now they're arguing over the price point. Well, now if suddenly HBO Max gets a higher subscription rate, or Roku starts getting and Amazon start getting more demand, then they'll cave.
That's why Apple TV just says you can do it for free. They don't even argue. They let everybody on. And they have the money to do it, so they don't have to worry about.
Well, because Apple TV is looking at it in a different angle, because Apple is very much focused on moving the hardware.
Right. Well, for now, that I think is changing. It's changing because the Apple TV app is now available on a whole bunch of smart TVs.
Right.
And other
gadgets. It's available on my new Roku Ultra.
Yeah. So one aspect of this whole thing that we haven't talked about yet is that HBO Max, up until this point, has not offered anything in 4K or with Dolby Atmos. And that's one of the reasons I dropped it, is because I could get things that look better on Netflix and Apple TV. My belief is that starting with Wonder Woman on Christmas and with all the 2021 releases, they will be providing them in 4K quality with a Dolby Atmos soundtrack when available. And that is probably going to get me to sign back up.
Right, and Disney Plus was dropping on day one, was dropping the Star Wars films in 4K quality.
Uh-huh.
Right,
by the way, surprised people. They didn't realize they were doing that.
Sure. Right. Yeah, and then they gave Frozen 2 pretty quick, right? Because they decided to just send it straight to Apple TV. I mean, Disney Plus.
Well, that's because they had launched last fall, a little over a year ago, right? And they debuted with The Mandalorian, and The Mandalorian had great reviews, and that certainly drove subscription sales for some people. You have just the fact that it's Disney, and that's going to drive kids' sales. And then you get people like, you know, some friends of mine who are like they make their annual or monthly pilgrimage to Disney World, you know, they just automatically sign paychecks over to Disney every month.
Yeah, like Chrissy.
Like Chrissy, yeah.
Like Chrissy, right. So they have that built-in market, you know, and then Corona hit, you know, 5 months later, and everyone's home, and they said, shit, let's use this as an excuse to put everybody onto Disney Plus. Hey, here's Frozen 2. Hey, here's Onward that we just released in theaters. You can watch it at home for free.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Onward, yeah.
Hamilton got me to sign up for a month.
And then Hamilton, which was...
Oh, and they,
summer,
they,
yeah.
And don't forget that they had the two Taylor Swift concerts, the documentary one that just
you
released.
Didn't forget.
And then the one, and then the concert one that was about 6 months ago. Those were huge. So, yeah, yeah. Good stuff. Marketing works.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, that's right, and that's what's going to happen with HBO Max, I think, with this new.
No, I think it's a winning strategy. I do.
Yeah,
I just hope I just hope it doesn't kill theaters forever.
Right, but what they don't yet have is for lack of a better pun, the killer app. Right, they Game of Thrones is over. Like if this happened in like season three of Game of Thrones, then that would have been great for HBO Max, but they don't have that.
Well, here's the thing, though. As much as we like to make fun of Phil, Wonder Woman is a draw. People are going to sign up to watch Wonder Woman on Christmas, no doubt about it.
But it's a one-time thing. Right?
Well, yeah, but then they're on, and exactly, I guarantee you at least 30% of the people that sign up for it aren't going to fucking remember to cancel before next month.
And they're not going to. They're going to sign up, and like we did for Hulu, and say, oh, look at this. Let's keep Hulu for next month because there's some good stuff here, and then we just keep it as one of our apps. And that's what they're going to do with HBO Max, especially when Suicide Squad's coming next, and then, you know, on and on and on.
Right.
So,
and then they got the JLA Director's Cut coming, Justice League Director's Cut coming
sometime this spring. What is it called?
The Snyder Cut.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and also the Dune movie is coming out on it
at some point, right? So those will come. So they might be the movies, maybe the thing that does it, because they haven't been able to come up with that TV show you had, you know, Sopranos, and then Game of Thrones. Netflix. I don't remember what Netflix used to have was. What was the first Netflix show that really drove? Like you had
House of Cards,
and Orange and the New Black probably started around the same time.
Yeah,
And then more recently, you had Ozark. And you had, but more than Ozark was Stranger Things.
Right, Stranger Things. That's another one. Yeah.
You know, and those are things that people.
A lot of people discovered Breaking Bad because of Netflix rather than.
Yeah, me too. That's how I did. Yeah. In The Office. That's how I
got. Oh, yeah.
No, you're just 10 years late, Phil. Everybody else already knew about
it. Yeah, Office was a top rated TV show. It was, it's like discovering, it's like saying TV Land caused people to discover Cheers. It's just.
fair enough. But you're right. Breaking Bad. Was a draw. What became famous because of Netflix, not because of its original run,
right? Where you could see the ratings increase,
right. And then, like you said, Stranger Things and Ozark were a really good 1-2 punch. A couple years ago, Mindhunter was pretty decent.
Well, yeah, but it was decent, but nobody watched it, which is why it's been canceled.
Right, but Stranger Things and Ozark, everybody was watching those, and then everybody watched.
I don't know that everybody's watching Ozark.
It was pretty big.
We don't count every time you watched it, Phil.
You just tend to dismiss things that Phil likes.
No, well, there's that. Yes. But no, I know it's gotten, but I'm saying I just haven't heard the same buzz about it.
It's pretty well regarded.
I mean, it's well regarded, but I don't know what its viewership is, and I never hear anybody talk about it other than Phil.
Netflix doesn't release those numbers, so I guess we'll never really know.
Right, and also they release everything at one drop, same with Stranger Things. Because you remember, Stranger Things was huge for that 1 month, and then no one really talks about it much anymore.
Right.
That's the model they're sort of drifting away from, too. So.
Right, well, and that's what Ozark is like, too. So... They were pretty big shows the first, you know, 2 months they come out, and before they, you know, everybody waits until a year later for the next season. But yeah, you're right. A lot of shows like Amazon pulled that bullshit with The Boys, right? You know, so.
Well, and there's a reason for it. I mean, they've done that, and that Netflix has done that with a couple of series where they like have released like the half of a season and then another half of a season to try to stretch it out.
Right, and I think Hulu's been going to do that too.
Hulu has arrangements with some networks. Yeah. Like there's a show I'm watching called Next right now, which is currently airing on Fox, and Hulu will put the episodes up the next day.
I'm doing the same thing with Big Sky, which is an ABC
show. So they have some of that going on. It's closer to real time with the network.
Right. We're watching the fourth season of Fargo right now on Hulu.
Is that worth watching?
Is that brand new? Oh, my God. You really need to watch Fargo.
Okay. Is that brand new?
Fourth season is brand new. Fourth season, I guess, just finished its run. We had missed, since we cut the cord, we didn't see any ads for Fargo to know
but
that
the fourth
season was back.
Let me rephrase my question. Is it a Hulu original, though?
It's from FX.
Gotcha.
Which is now owned by Disney, which is also owned by Hulu.
I've only watched one episode of Fargo.
The thing about Fargo is interesting is that it's like American Horror Story, where each season's a completely different story.
Right. Okay. But also a different cast.
Yeah.
There is a connection. So the first season has a connection to the film, but it takes a while to find out what that connection is.
Gotcha.
And so then the second season takes a character's story and from the first season, which in the first season is set something like 2005, so about 10 years after the film. And it sets it to like basically the backstory and sets it in the 70s.
Is Coen Brothers involved with that show?
No, it's not. It's Noah Hawley is the one who makes it, and he's really, really good. He also did the FX series Legion, which I thought was really bizarre, but visually phenomenal. Every season has a great cast. So season three has Ewan McGregor playing twin brothers. You've got Chris Rock in the newest season. Is playing is set in the 1950s, playing a crime lord.
Interesting.
So
in Fargo.
Wow.
In Fargo. Right.
Fargo.
That's right. Well, because it's dealing, and what it's dealing with is it's a story about the black gang and the Italian gang.
Gotcha.
It's a black mob and Italian mob. I want to point out, not talking about street gangs. Yeah, I'm talking about the mobs. You have, let's see. Yes, you've, what's his name? Sling Blade. Billy Bob Thornton is the villain in the first season of Fargo with the Hobbit. Martin. I can't think of his name.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I forget his name. The Australian guy. Or no, he's English, but...
Right, he was in the zombie movie we reviewed.
Yeah, he was in the zombie movie. The Australian film.
Fargo.
English. Yeah.
I'm blanking. Right, so it's... Yeah, it is
and Bill
really
Pullman, Bill Pullman's in it, right? Bill Pullman was in one of the seasons.
I don't remember.
I thought he was, but yeah.
Oh, season two has a cameo by Bruce Campbell as Ronald Reagan.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Anyway, anything else on the HBO Max stuff? Probably not. I'll bring up Elliot Page, which, and I'm only going to use this term once, the prior name, Ellen Page, the actress's turn, is become out as transgender, is it? Trans. I don't know. Is it transgender or transsexual?
Transgender.
Thank you. So that was big news this week, and that was out. What else?
I'm shocked. I'm as shocked as I was when I found out Liberace was gay.
I was actually more shocked that he's a Canadian. That's not good. Anyway, so I was in Canada. What else? Any other news that we got? Did you had Mike on the agenda?
No, those were the four, and we spent far more time on the last one than I ever expected.
Yeah, well, it is an interesting topic. Now, Eric, are you there by any chance? I know we had to step away for a second. No, okay, he's still away because he had to go use the. Oh, he's back. Eric,
no, I'm here. I was muted. Sorry.
No, that's. So Eric, I guess we can move on to the next section, which is what we've been watching. And I know you've been watching stuff.
I have been. Last time we recorded was Mortuary Collection, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's I got some stuff here. Let me plow through this real quick. I watched The House on Sorority Row and Sorority House Massacre because I sat in as co-host for the Midnight Drive-In podcast. And those were the movies they were watching that week. Their co-host, Noah, actually got COVID and was not able to record that week. So I sat in for Noah. So that was fun.
What were the two films again?
The House on Sorority Row and Sorority House Massacre.
Those newer films, like with the past.
No. They're 80s slashers.
Yes.
Gotcha. So if you like 80s slashers, watch House on Sorority Row, but maybe don't watch Sorority House Massacre because it's kind of bad.
There was a remake, wasn't there? Of
there was Sorority Row? there was Sorority Row just made in 2009, which is. Yeah, but it wasn't.
Yeah, really. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But you're right. I've actually seen both of those. Is the second one, the one that you said wasn't that good?
Uh-huh.
Doesn't it have a superstitious piece to it? Like a supernatural piece to it, I mean?
Well, I think they kind of want you to think they do, but not.
Yeah.
Really.
Right. Yeah, okay. So I saw that one. I actually have that on blue. And then the other one, the first one, yeah, that one is really considered a pretty good cult classic.
Yeah, it's decent.
Yeah.
I watched a 2020 movie starring Russell Crowe called Unhinged, where he pretty much plays a guy who, because of road rage, just goes off the deep end one day and does a pretty good job with it, too.
Autobiography?
So if that sounds like a good time, check that out. I watched a movie on Hulu called Run. Which was kind of dumb, but entertaining. I mean, it's worth checking out if you subscribe to Hulu, but don't go out of your way. then I watched. I've become. I don't know how this happened. I wasn't paying attention, but I now do a third podcast weekly. Called the Basement Movie Cast, where we're just apparently going to show up once a week and do a commentary for a movie. So our first one was Attack of Killer Tomatoes, which is now available. Then we did Orca. So we did a commentary on Orca, so I got to watch that again. That's fine if you know it's bad going into it. Then I watched When a Stranger Calls, which is a 1979 classic. That movie's weird because it's got a really good beginning and a really good end, and then the middle is just kind of all right, that's there. But it's still worth catching if you haven't already. Watched a 2014 movie called Dark Was the Night about a local sheriff who's trying to protect a town from something in the nearby woods. And that's that plot. Then I watched a movie I'd never seen before, Psycho 2. I'd actually never taken the opportunity to watch before. It's actually pretty decent, especially considering it was made 20-some-odd years later. It's worth watching. I mean, it's not a classic like the original, but it's a solid sequel.
So much more worth watching than Psycho 3.
I have not watched Psycho 3, so with that, I probably won't.
Eric, what about that Dark in the Woods or whatever it was called?
Dark was the Night?
Yeah,
it was decent, but not great.
Okay.
Then I watched The New Mutants, which was unfortunate.
Oh, Dark is the Night. Yeah, I actually saw that. That's actually a pretty good film, Dark is the Night.
It's decent.
Yeah, it was decent. I mean, I like the... It took an old myth about the devil's footprints in the snow type of thing. That's an old Irish thing about the devil in the – yeah, so that actually had a great premise. But, yeah, you're right. It wasn't awesome, but it was good. It was good.
Yeah.
Anyway, continue.
New Mutants was – I mean, some people have been ripping it apart like it's the worst movie ever made. It's not The Giant. It's not that bad. but it's not one of the good X-Men movies either.
It's not as bad as Dark Phoenix.
No, it's not. Nor is it as bad as X-Men Apocalypse. But it's, it's not as good as X2 either.
Or first class.
Yeah, exactly. So it's right there in the middle. And, considering the talent involved with the movie, it should have been better, but it wasn't. So wait till that's on free streaming to check it out. And then last night I recorded a commentary for the Basement Movie Cast for Zombievers. Which is still that movie is still a hoot to watch.
It's a great film.
That's what I've been watching.
I was able to get that on Blu-ray. It was a Blu-ray exclusive at Best Buy, and I was able to snag it.
Really cool.
Yeah. So I was glad I got that. Yeah, it's a great film.
I'd like to think if I owned like an electronics store, I would just have that theme song on loop on video. That would just be all that played on in the store all day long. Would be the Zombievers theme.
I tried to tell people at work about this movie, the Zombievers, when we reviewed it initially, and nobody believed me that it was a real movie. And so I made them listen to the theme song.
Well, I mean, Weird Al and Dr. Demento are things, so that doesn't mean that there's a movie.
Oh, I showed them the YouTube video. It's with the lyrics synced up with the scenes. If you've not seen that, it's worth looking up. There's the Zombievers theme song on YouTube that with all the references that the lyrics are making it. They put in the clips from the movie.
Goddamn poor dog. Devastating.
I still like the outtakes at the end of that movie. They show the little dog. He's swimming and he's like playing with the stuffed Zombievers in the lake. And the director's yelling, "He's supposed to be afraid of them."
That is awesome. Yeah, and that guy that was in Breaking Bad, he was played one of the guys that carrying the toxic stuff. That was awesome.
Those two guys are funny.
Yeah. Because one of them's a singer in real life. I forget what the guy's name was. And another one was the guy that played one of Sal's. Saul's henchman, and he was just on Saturday Night Live like 3 weeks ago as the host. I forget his name too, but he's real good.
Not Bill Burr, right?
Bill Burr is one.
Yeah, it was Bill Burr. Okay. Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah. So Bill Burr is one of he's the guy that's actually driving the truck in Zombievers. And the guy that plays the singer, the guy that's a singer in real life, and I can't remember his name, plays the other guy.
John Mayer.
What is it?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, John Mayer. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so the other guy's John Mayer, and you don't even know it because he's dressed like from 1970.
Well, he's got a clearly fake mustache.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Sunglasses and a wig and a hat.
Yeah. So it has one. That's the thing. It's like the cameo of John Mayer, who was huge at the time when it came out, and is still kind of huge, I guess. And Bill Burr, who's like one of the big up and coming comedians. I mean, that's awesome.
Well, and it was clear from the outtakes at the end of the movie that they just like put those two guys in that truck and let them improv for like 2 hours straight.
Yeah, because they cut out some really good stuff. You're right. It was awesome. Yeah, that's an awesome movie. Best movie ever. I was glad that you guys chose it. I thought it was, you guys thought I was going to hate that movie. And I went in and I was pleasantly surprised. It was one of the best films of the year.
It's a lot of fun, and it knows enough not to take itself seriously.
Yeah,
and I still say it's not a stupid movie. It's a clever movie. It's a silly movie.
Yeah,
silly isn't the same as stupid.
Made it's the plot is actually good. There's actually some scary moments, and like you said, Mike, it's comedy, but it's not silly.
And when we did the commentary, I made my co-host sit through the credits so they could see the post-credit scene that sets up the sequel, and they were mad at me for making them do that.
I forget what that scene
was. I was like,
zombies!
Get it?
Oh, that's right. Bees. Yeah, that's right. That was awesome.
Now, if only they'd gotten Nicolas Cage for that scene.
Right. Oh, my God. That would have been awesome. You're right, Mike. Yeah.
So that's it. I don't have anything else.
All right. Very well. Very well. Yeah, I just got a couple of things. The Standoff at Sparrow Creek, some Hulu film from, I think, 2018. It's basically a bunch of guys that are part of like one of those militias or something. And there's a shooting at a policeman's funeral. This is out in the middle of nowhere, you know, like rural section, and Minnesota or Wisconsin or something. And one of them may be the guilty party, and one of their guns is missing. And so it's a really, really good thriller. The ending is kind of shocking too. So I would recommend it, especially if you like thrillers. Also, Big Sky, David E. Kelly's new show on ABC. It's a police procedural kind of thing, you know, a couple of PIs. They have a Scream Drew Barrymore moment in the first episode, which was completely shocking. So far, it's good. Three episodes so far. I've seen the first two. The third one just came out on Tuesday. I'm going to watch it tomorrow night. So I recommend you can watch it on Hulu or ABC app if you don't get to watch it live. I watched The Flight Attendant on HBO Max. First three episodes were dropped, and the second two were just dropped yesterday, so I watched those over the weekend. Show's weird, but it's pretty good. I forget the woman's name, but she was one of the stars of The Big Bang Theory. Never watched that show, so this is my first.
Probably Kelly.
Kelly, what's her face?
Kotu, or whatever her name is. Yeah.
Coco for Cuckoo Puffs.
Yeah. So she. How did you know it was her? Is she?
Familiar with the show. I know of it. I just haven't watched it.
Gotcha. But yeah, she's the star, and it's a pretty good show. She's a kind of, a woman who is a flight attendant that kind of hooks up with all different guys all the time type. And one of the guys she finds dead in her bed. And the mystery is...
Don't you hate when that happens?
Yeah. So that's the mystery behind that. It's kind of weird though, because it has some dark humor in it, so it's not straight thriller. But it's a decent show on HBO Max. And then I watched The Giant, which I still have no idea what that was about. And then I played Doom, The Ancient Ones, Part One, which is the first downloadable content. And it's almost as large as the first Doom Eternal, the main game. And I completed that. That was really good. So Doom Eternal and its downloadable content, The Ancient Ones Part 1, are both excellent. Part 2 is supposed to come out sometime Q1 or Q2 next year as the second downloadable content. That's pretty much it. I'm sure there's been a couple other things I've watched, but I just can't remember offhand. Let's go with you, Abe. You got any games or movies or anything?
I only played one game over the course of the break, which was an independent game, very surreal and kind of psychedelic, called Yuppie Psycho, which is a play on in reference to an anime called Mob Psycho and, of course, the film American Psycho, which... It's a very weird game, but it's actually well made. It's basically you play this country boy who finally gets a job in the big city, in this big corporate building. However, you find that the corporate building is a very strange and dangerous place, and your job is to hunt down the witch that dwells within it. It's kind of like a puzzle survival horror game, which you explore the floors of this big corporate this company. And elude these strange creatures and also try to find clues and stuff. It's on sale now on Steam. And it's, I think I got maybe like on average, it's an 8-hour game, but I got a little more out of it because I was trying to find all the little things. There's multiple endings, and it's all done through pixel art, which it looks very seamless at times. It's got a great soundtrack, too. And really, that's what was the only thing I got a chance to check out, aside from my writing and everything else. But it was a really fun experience. Definitely want to recommend if you like survival horror, very strange psychological and surreal games. And that's all that happened on my end.
All right, very well. Mike, what about yourself?
Yeah, I did forget to mention another passing, and which my wife and I finished watching a couple of days ago, and that is the TV series Supernatural has finally come to its end. The 15th season was abruptly interrupted due to COVID, and they, I guess, just finished airing the last 7 or 8 hours of it. And we streamed those over Thanksgiving. You know, and we've certainly talked about the show in the very early days of the podcast, back when Supernatural was in like season 4 or 5, I think.
Yeah, we did a two and a half hour episode. Yeah.
So and it's just bizarre to me that the show, you know, as I think it's been on for 15 years. Like that's when I bought my house, was 15 years ago. It's like, and I kind of remember the show starting right after we moved into the house. You know, if these guys, I don't know if they were like 25 when the show started, they're 40 now.
Yeah. I saw a picture of the two of them facing each other in season 1 versus a picture of them facing each other in season 15. It was like, whoa, yeah, they were boys and now they are men.
Oh God. Yeah. And they're both moving on to other things. Jensen Ackles has got a role in, I don't know if it's in The Boys or The Boys spinoff, which by the way is produced by Eric Kripke, who made Supernatural. So that makes sense. And, Jared Padalecki is doing the remake on CW of Walker Texas Ranger, where he's going to be playing Chuck Norris. So
what?
Yeah, he's playing.
Well, that'll go one season.
Well, because I know when I look at him, I just think Chuck Norris. I mean, like just spitting image. You know, Chuck Norris has got the beard and he's got the hair and. Other than that, they're like twinsies. I'll be really curious to see how that happens, except for the fact that I won't watch it because I have no affinity or affection for the original series, and I have no interest in watching the new one. But I will watch from afar to see what it is. And anyway, I think, you know what, there's a lot to say about a show that has outlived its welcome, and certainly Supernatural was there in season 7, and nobody really denies that. But they kind of did rebound, and while it never quite hit its heights again, it did have its moments, and you had things like, as we've mentioned many times on the podcast, Scooby Natural. There were definitely a couple of fun episodes leading to the wrap up. And if you like the show, then you know once it's streaming, you know, and I think most of season 15, except for those last 7 or 8 episodes are on Netflix now. So if you want to watch,
they may
them,
have just put the last few episodes up because I saw a new episodes tag on it the other day.
So yeah, give it a shot. You know, you might, that's not something you have to binge watch. And God help you if you try to binge watch 15 seasons.
Well, and I will say that while it was hit and miss in later seasons, the first 5 seasons of that show are some of the strongest genre TV I've seen.
And it is, and it is very damn good. Yeah. And I do think they hit a nice equilibrium later. Not where, unfortunately, it's not great, but it's solid. And they do still occasionally have a gem. So there was an episode in season 12 or 13 called Baby that was shot entirely from the point of view of the car, which was interesting. So yeah, they still have their fun moments from time to time. It's still worthwhile. Just weird to me to think that Supernatural. There's been like 4 different incarnations of Twilight Zone. And I think there are still more seasons of Supernatural than there are seasons of Twilight Zone. That it is the longest running American genre TV series and maybe the longest running genre TV series outside of Doctor Who.
Yeah, makes sense. Oh, Dark Shadows was pretty long too. Wasn't that one real long?
I don't know how many years. I didn't go 15 years. No, because it was a soap opera. They had, like, you know, daily episodes, right? So there were probably a shit ton of episodes.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, yeah. But yeah, Supernatural could be the number one. You're absolutely right, yeah.
So, it's just, I'm not going to say I'm sad to see it go. It's like, you know, when someone who's 98 passes, you can't say they died too soon. But, it, you know, it's, I am grateful that we had it.
Right. It was a good show. Yeah, you can still watch it. It was reruns. So.
All right, are we done?
Anything else, Mike?
I don't know. Was there anything else that you wanted to say about Giant?
Well, I wanted to ask you, Mike, any shows or movies you wanted to mention because you didn't mention it.
Oh, I did watch. I forgot about this. It is on Netflix for free, so you do not have to spend money on it. And I've seen some bad reviews, but I did watch the latest Tremors film, Tremors Blood Island, because why not?
They haven't been on an island yet.
Yeah, because they haven't done it on an island. I was surprised how much I liked it, which is not to say that I loved it. It is not to say that it is an especially good movie. I'm just saying I kind of enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed it more than whatever the last one was, Arctic Tremors, Santa Claus versus Tremors, whatever that one was, that I thought was terrible. I've seen some people say that this one was even worse, where I don't really think that's the case. Co-star Richard Brake from Game of Thrones and 31 and... Three from Hell is playing like a wealthy trophy hunter who's hunting graboids for profit.
Be very, very quiet. Hunting graboids.
If you are a fan of the franchise, if you are not a fan of the franchise, this will not win you over. If you are a fan of the franchise, then grab the 4K release of the original Tremors from Arrow Video coming out in about a week or two. But while you're waiting for that to come, yeah, you could do worse. That's all I'm saying. You could do worse with Tremors 6. Tremors 7 is not as bad as Tremors 6.
All right, that sounds cool. All right, anything else, Mike?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. All right, so we can give our final thoughts on the movie. But before we do that, Eric, you actually do another podcast with your buddy Dan.
I do. It's a general interest podcast called the Askancy Podcast. That's spelled A-S-K-A-N-C-I-T-Y. You can find it wherever you got this one.
And, Eric, you also do another podcast in the basement somewhere, right?
Yeah, that's the one I've been talking about doing the commentaries. That is the Basement Movie Cast is actually the name of the podcast.
And isn't that a lie, Eric? Because I don't think you have a basement, do you?
No.
So it's false advertising?
I'm not the one that produces the show. I'm not the one that named the show. I'm not the one that publishes the show. I'm not the one that came up with the name for the show. I just show up once a week and run my mouth.
Fair enough. Now, Mike, me, you, and Eric do another podcast that we were trying to get going in November, but it fell through because of the Thanksgiving.
That is the Cinema a la Carte podcast. I have been delving into another Arrow box set preparing for that next episode, but, you know, I don't want to spoil that for anybody. So that's going to be coming soon. But, yeah, that is the Cinema a la Carte podcast where you and I and Eric sit down and discuss a film that one of the three of us has chosen that is not a traditional dark discussion film. And by the way, I'm fully expecting at some point to find for the police to find Eric's dead body in his home, because he has been doing so many podcasts, he never had the chance to go out and buy groceries.
That's okay. They deliver now.
He didn't even have the time to click and do the DoorDash. But anyway, yeah, it's so that's going to be coming soon. But we do have other episodes that you can stream, such as I don't know which ones have actually been released. Was Inside Out released?
Not yet. That's actually in editing right now.
Okay, so Inside Out is in editing. That's the Disney Pixar film. There's Stalit, Stalit, which I finally remembered the name to the fucking film. Has that been released yet?
Yeah, sure has. And the director of that film is now following us.
Okay, cool. And Collateral? Is Collateral out?
Not yet. No, that one.
Not yet. How about Jack Reacher?
Nope, nope, not yet. Not yet.
Forbidden Planet?
Nope, nope, not yet.
I'm trying to remember what else we covered.
I think that's it.
No, there were others. Eric, what was your first movie for that?
I don't remember.
But it was really...
Oh, it was the promo we did, Hostiles.
Yeah, Hostiles, that was out. That's out, Baby Driver's out. Stalit is out.
Okay, so the first like four are out.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, so very good, very good. And for an update, the podcast, Don't Tell Me, I'll Tell You, the Stand podcast based off of the to critique the CBS All Access, the Stand series, with myself and Barrett doing a book episode. We'll be coming out weekly discussing each episode of that TV series. It starts December 17th. We should probably be recording it 3 days later, so we have it out the fourth day after. And that will be most likely 9 episodes, not including the book episodes that have already been recorded to be released within the next 14 days. All right, so I think that's pretty much it. So let's give our final thoughts on this movie, The Giant, 2020 release. We'll start with you, Abe.
I want my $7 back. I cannot recommend this. I want my 100 minutes back. This was a rough one. As you can see tonight, we had tried to find anything to discuss and anything redeeming in this film, and honestly, we came up with nothing. I can't recommend this to people who like artsy-fartsy films. I can't recommend people who like mysteries or teen dramas. I can't really recommend, especially can't recommend to people who like horror. I can't recommend this to anybody. This is just a film that I honestly think that unless you could find it completely free, but even then, I would hesitate to even say waste your time on it because it goes nowhere. There's no real story. There's no real progression. It feels like you just kind of go back where you end up where you started. It's not a good film. It's, you know, even though I think the actors and actresses did fine with the material they had written for it was just a mess. I just don't want to talk about this anymore. I honestly think that this is the worst film of 2020. And honestly, I think this film is actually worse than The Gallows.
Ooh, that's harsh speaking. Fair enough. All right, for me, I can't say I hated the film, but I'm still completely confused and have no idea what happened and what I was watching. And it's just a strange film. So I don't know. I can't necessarily trash it completely as Abe and the other folks may, but I can't recommend it either. It is very art house, but the plot is just strange because there is no plot. But I'm still trying to figure it out and I just don't know. Anyway, interesting film either way. And that's pretty much my opinion. So let's go with you, Eric.
Yeah, this is a bad movie. Don't watch it. Worst film of 2020 that I've seen at least. And if you feel like checking it out, light your genitals on fire until the feeling passes.
Mike.
Yeah, lighting on genitals won't hurt any less than watching the movie, but it'll pass by a lot faster. Phil, I think the reason you're confused is because, you know, none of the rest of us are confused. Embrace the fact this is a terrible film and that it doesn't make any sense. and hate the film. Let the hate flow through you, and you will find all the confusion evaporates when you understand it's just terrible. Your problem is you're trying to insist it's not terrible when it's terrible. It's awful. And this might take the mantle of the worst film I have watched for this podcast. Not entirely sure, but it's very high up there. And I try very hard to say positive things about the movies that we watch. And the best thing I can say for this film is that I will never watch it again.
All right. Wow, that's tough words.
Unlike Phil, who will watch it five more times.
Trying to figure out why it's not really a bad film.
Right. I have to figure out why it's not really. Because I usually know when I hate a film, I hate it. But
you're sitting there with the bucket of black licorice ice cream between your legs, eating scoops of it, trying to say, no, this really isn't awful. It can't be this awful. There's got to be something here to it.
Let me take one more bite.
Let me just keep eating it.
Yeah. Oh,
I want to point out, we only had like the sample size. But you're eating bowls of it. We just had the little sample size spoons worth of to get the bad taste in their mouths.
So, yeah, maybe I just let the hate flow and then I can move on. But, yeah, I don't know. Either way. Anyway, all right. So, once again, this is Dark Discussions Podcast, www.darkdiscussions.com, email darkdiscussions@aol.com. The movie that we just did was The Giant, a 2020 film written and directed and actually edited by David Raboy, starring
David.
What's that?
I said, sorry, David, I'm sure you're a fine person. We just didn't like this movie.
And I'm not saying that you should give up making films. I wish you the best of luck, as I do almost any filmmaker that has not been convicted of pedophilia, to go and keep trying. Try again. Learn and move along. I'm not saying you're a talentless hack. I am saying this did not work. Try again.
All right, and starring Odessa Young, who is going to be one of the stars, main stars of the CBS television series The Stand, which will be talked about on the new podcast that I had mentioned earlier. Don't tell me, I'll tell you, The Stand podcast. Film is available pretty much anywhere VOD is. It did make Apple's top 42, at least for a couple weeks, before fading out like most films eventually do. But if you are interested, The Giant is available for rental and purchase.
Don't do it.
Go watch Cats instead. Save yourself.
Light your genitals on fire.
Rub your ass in broken glass.
All right, so I definitely won't be tagging this director or anybody in the cast on Twitter when I release it.
Look, when everybody in the movie gives the same performance, then that's the fault of the director. When you see that sort of uniformly bad stuff, it was sort of like when. I don't know if you're aware that there was a Dungeons and Dragons movie came out about
the episode,
15 years ago.
I saw that at theaters. Dungeons.
Yeah. Oh, you saw it in theaters. Well, you know that Jeremy Irons gives one of the worst performances in the history of film ever.
Yeah.
Film. Well, you know, it's not because Jeremy Irons is a bad actor.
Right. Right. No, we get it. We get it. And I assume Eric wants to move on. So with all that stated, Eric, why don't you lead us up?
All right. If somehow you made it to this point in the podcast, congratulations. Thanks for tuning in. Let's talk about The Giant. And if we have done anything in this podcast over the last almost 10 years, if we prevent one person from watching this movie, it will have all been worth it. Come back next week. We'll have another topic.